Thank you, sir. I assure you it's a pleasure to be here in your church this morning. See so many volunteers so early in the morning. And my friends, the Hamels, from many, many years. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Zechariah, chapter 3 and verse 8. Now, this is not as familiar a passage as Dr. Moon led you in, and we won't read it in all of those languages. Verse 8 of Zechariah chapter 3. Normally, and because I was raised in the Reformed Church, we never read the lesson sitting down. I only have one verse, so I'm going to let you sit. You look so comfortable, and I'd hate to wake some of you up. I'm not that sadistic or cruel. Verse 8, hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Isn't that a great text? Man, that turns you on. I don't know to what, but I want to use three words out of there, for they are men wondered at. Now I want to use those three words, men wondered at. Whoever these fellows are, they are men of wonder. They're not wondered about, they are wondered at. And there is quite a bit of difference. God wonders. In Isaiah 59, verse 16, he said he wondered that there was no intercessor. No one seemed to care. No one got concerned. No one got uptight about the situation. God said he wondered about the attitude of men. Well, you follow Jesus, he wondered at two things. At the amount of some people's faith and the unbelief of others. It was even hard for the Son of God to realize that some people could have so much faith and others could have so little. And I think St. Paul wondered. In fact, he wonders out loud in a thunder tones to the Corinthian church. Chapter 6, verse 19, he said, what? Know you not that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? He said, you're not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. He could not in his own mind reconcile the complacency of people who could have such a high inheritance in God and live at such a low moral level. And he marvels. He wonders. Our text is very relevant. It's very contemporary. It's as contemporary as Cabbage Dolls and E.T. I must tell you that the older generation sure wonders about the young generation coming up. Parents wonder about their children. Mothers wonder about all the clothes their daughters need to go to CBC. And dad wonders that it should take so much money to be a college student. The professors look over their glasses at the class and wonder. And the students look through their contact lenses and return the favor. Pastors wonder about their churches, and churches about their pastors. I just heard the story about the two elderly ladies discussing their two old pastors. And the one said, "We're getting so tired. All this is ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong." The other one said, "You're lucky. Ours is just dong, 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 dong." In fact, some of you are wondering right now what this old man is going to say. This is not a statement of question. It's a statement of admiration. Men wondered at. Now, if you have some alien translation, it doesn't read so good, but if you have the authentic version of the apostles and the prophets, that's how it reads. Men wondered at. People should look at this campus and wonder, not with question, but with appreciation and admiration. First of all, they should wonder at the decision that a bunch of young people have made. In the kind of world we're living in the kind of world we're handing on to you, you have made a decision that should make our world wonder with amazement and astonishment. Bright, sharp young people have made a decision to follow Christ. You should be wondered at for something so revolutionary, so dramatic, so completely opposed to all of the thinking and the philosophies of our world, is your decision to accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. This is and will be the wisest thing you have ever done in your life, for it will determine your eternal destiny. You will live forever on a decision that you have made. That decision makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. That decision makes you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You have turned from a child of the devil to a child of God. You've turned from death unto life, from sin to the Savior, from bondage to freedom, from hell to heaven. What a decision that should cause wonderment when there is so much visible that's attractive, and you've made your decision based on something that's not visible. Totally unseen. St. Paul said the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. And you are to be wondered at because you've made a decision on things that cannot be seen. You've looked at life's true values. You've counted the gains and the losses. You've weighed the consequences and said, "As for me, I will serve Christ. I will live for Christ. I will make Christ the object of my love, my devotion, and my service without compromise, without letting down, from now on till I see him. Brings me to my next point. Not only should you be wondered at because of your decision to come to Christ, your dedication should be an object of wonderment. In these days of lukewarmness, there's really very little fanaticism left anywhere except now in politics. That won't last long either. I am not afraid of the word fanaticism. I'm much more afraid of his opposite. In fact, I could stand a good dose of sanctified fanaticism. I'm not afraid of wildfire. We got enough firefighters around who'll put out that fire in a hurry. It's the formalism and the deadness that frightens me. I go to churches constantly. They don't need me, they need an undertaker. I smell the embalming fluid when I come inside the door. Oh, to be wondered at again because of our dedication to follow Christ, to serve Christ. Jesus said, if you would be my disciple, come, take up your cross, C-R-O-S-S, and follow me. And it's amazing where that will lead. You follow the footsteps of Christ. Oh, yes, there will be miracles. There will be walking on the water. There will be the supply of bread and fish. There will be the coin in the fish's mouth. I need a miracle like that each year at April 15. But you follow him long enough and his footsteps will lead towards Gethsemane. Follow him further and it will lead to the judgment hall, where men make decisions about you. Follow him further and it will lead to Golgotha's hill. But follow him just a little further and it'll lead to the Easter triumph and the ascent into the presence of God. May you be wondered at for such a dedication of your life to follow Christ, whatever the cost, wherever the path may lead. I think of young William Borden, one of the bright lights out of Yale University, destined to be one of the finest dedicated brains of our land, but determined that he was going to bring the message of life to the Muslims of Africa, and dedicated his life to that cause. On his way, he contracted a tropical disease in Central America and died there. But before he died, he gave the world his final message. No regrets, no remorse, no retreat. May you at CBC be wondered at for a decision that cannot be changed, for a dedication that cannot be retracted. You've put your hand in the hand of Christ, and whatever is involved in that fellowship, you will say today, Lord Jesus, give me the grace, give me the strength. I'm going to go with you all the way. You will be the wonderment of a lukewarm church that has lost its sense of its high calling. And then you should be wondered at because of your devotion to the Word of God. I was sitting in a church a few mornings ago, and they were handing out these Bible reading pamphlets. You read so many chapters a day. The response was so lukewarm. And I thought to myself, when are we going to take the Word of God seriously? When are we going to get to the place where this is the final court of appeal? This is the first and the last word and everything in between regarding faith, regarding conduct, regarding worship, regarding discipline, regarding my service for Jesus Christ. I need nothing beyond this, but I need all of this. May God give us a group of people who are wondered at because of their devotion to the Word of God. Jeremiah 15, 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word became to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I had a dear old dad that loved God with a passion, that had calluses on his knees, praying his whole family, his children, his grandchildren into the kingdom of God. And he would smack his lips when he'd read the Word of God. And one day his baby daughter went to him and said, Daddy, why do you always smack your lips like that when you read? And he looked at her and he said, well, baby, it's like this. The psalmist David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he would taste the Word of God and smack his lips because of the message it brought to his heart. Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3:51, he said, mine eye affecteth my heart. This is true psychologically. It is true in daily life. Ask the people who put out the billboards that print the pornographic magazines. The heart is affected by the eye. And I think we need to make a new dedication of ourselves as to what we see, as to what we read, as to what we observe. The psalmist David said, I have set the Lord before me. Let us fill our vision with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the truth of his precious and wonderful word, wondered at because of our devotion to the Word of God. I think of Joseph, yonder in Potiphar's house. You know the story. This attempt at seduction by that rotten, lecherous, adulterous woman. And he says in chapter 39, verse 9, he said, woman, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Adultery was wickedness then, and it's wickedness now. It was a sin then, and it's a sin now. Paul said, adulterers shall not enter the kingdom of God. Oh, to come back to the place where we bring our total life, our minds, our eyes, our bodies, our hearts, our loves, into conformity with the truth of God's word. And when I talk like this, I don't forget there was a day when I was just as old as you are now. I know you can't believe that, but it's true. I had the same problems you're having now. We had the same kind of devil in northwestern Canada that you have here But the one thing that kept us and helped us was a devotion to the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "Now you are clean through the word that I have given you." The psalmist David said, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed thereto according to the word of God." God give us a group of young preachers coming up who are fanatically devoted to the truth of God's word. Whether it's English or Hebrew or Greek or Vietnamese or Chinese or Polish or German, whatever it is, people who are devoted to the Word of God. This is their guiding light. This is their guiding line. This is their light in the darkness. This is what keeps them true from day to day, is their devotion to the Word of God. By it they are governed. Their life is circumscribed by the Word of God, and there alone is total liberty. And then, may you be wondered at for the discipline of your life. The name Ted Williams may not mean much to you younger baseball buffs. Ted Williams is one of the few men who retired with a batting average of over 400 with the Boston Red Sox. I watched him play. He was fluid beauty in action. One day he was asked about his ability to hit a ball and connect. He said, "The day before we play, especially at night," he said, "I refuse to go to a picture show or watch television, lest it interfere with my eyesight to see that ball coming at 100 miles an hour out of that pitcher's hand." And Paul Lornberg said to himself, if a baseball player can be so disciplined and so anxious to excel at what he is doing to the point he will deny his eyes, a picture show, a TV, that he might excel, how much more should you and I be disciplined in spirit, in mind, in body, in eye, in heart, and in tongue, in hands, and in feet, that we might honor and glorify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. No time for little permissible indulgences. I remember speaking to my brother, who was an intelligence officer in the Canadian Army during the Second World War. They sent him out to in the middle of the Pacific with about 12 sergeants to watch over a little island. And all they had was listening equipment, watching equipment, and communications equipment. That's all they had. And I said to my brother, "What is the matter with the Canadian Army? Don't they have any sense? A man with your experience, with your training, with your position, with your office, a bunch of buck privates can do that." And he clicked his heels to attention, and he brought up his hand with a salute, and he said, "Paul, when the army says go, I do not question." I said to myself, God, make me a soldier like that. When the high command says go, there is no questioning. There's not a reason why. There's not to question why. There's but to do and die. Into the valley of death rode the 600. Said the old poet about the Battle of Balaclava. May you be wondered at for the discipline of your life. You've narrowed down your priorities. To these you are wedded, to these you are dedicated. There is no compromise, there's no backing off. Men who are wondered at. When we were in South America a few years ago, I wanted to go into Ecuador down to the Carari River, where now, 25 years ago, five of the finest young American boys that God has given this country perished in an attempt to reach the Aka Indians with the message of Christ. As we came down over the jungles and over the forests, and there, like an old muddy rope in the grass, was a muddy river weaving its way through the jungles. And in my mind's eye, I saw the bodies of five young men. Several of them I knew: Jim Elliott, Roger Yadarian, Nate Saint. The other boys were strangers. All had their master's degrees, engineering and on. Could have written their own checks 25, 30 years ago in the industries. But there came the call of God to the regions beyond. Nothing mattered at that moment. And Jim Elliott gave the world his will and testament. No man is a fool to give up what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. I have buried millionaires and I have buried paupers, but they both had something in common: empty hands. The only thing we're going to take with us is what has been given to Christ, what has been dedicated to the Son of God. I happen to have a son who I trust is going to follow and is following in his dad's footsteps. Not long ago, he was offered a position, exactly 300% increase in his finances to stay in a church, to go to another church. He said, no, I said, not enough money. He said, no, that's not the case. He said, what has money got to do with the will of God? May God give us young people again who are a sense of wonder. They're blind to the dollar. They're blind to comforts. They're blind to ease. They're blind to luxuries. They only see one thing, and that's the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wondered at. Like someone said of Martin Luther, said, the fool doesn't have any taste for gold. God give us some more fools. We're so involved in the will of God for their lives. Dr. Billy Graham was at Harvard University not so long ago, and he said to the president, Dr. Bach, what is the greatest lack on the campus at Harvard? And without hesitation, the president said, commitment. There's no commitment at Harvard. And that can be multiplied 10,000 times across the United States. Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Notre Dame or UM and on, the lack of commitment. There is no lack of commitment. Ready to live, ready to die, to go, to stay, to sell out, to weep, to pray. Whatever the situation demands, God, here are people that are going to meet that demand. This is our commitment. This is our discipline that we're going to give ourselves to. Discipline in prayer. Discipline in seeking God. Martin Luther said, I am so busy, I must pray an extra hour. I have so much to do, I must pray 3 hours today instead of two. Oh, God, give us again people that are wondered at. And then let me close. I'm always impressed when I read the book of Esther. When old Mordecai said to his niece, I guess, Esther. And he said, Esther, how do you know but what you've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? I go to our college campuses and I look at the new group of young people. I say, are you aware of your destiny? You've been brought to the kingdom for just such a time as this. When America is going to hell at a breakneck speed. When the fuse that will ignite nuclear war is already sputtering. When we butcher over 1.5 million unborn children every year. When over 1.5 million marriage vows are shattered and set at naught by a court decree each year. When we have 4,220 major crimes committed every day of our lives. You have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. May you be wondered at for your sense of destiny. It's no accident that you're here now. God has a place out there just for you, and no one can fill that place like you can. You are the man for the spot. You have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. I read something into 2 Corinthians 5, I believe it's verse 20. Paul speaks to Christ's ambassadors, sent out in Christ's stead. We beseech you, be reconciled to God. This is what he's really saying. Jesus couldn't get to that church, so he sent you. He couldn't get to that mission field, so he sent you. And there you are in his place, in his stead. How would he minister? How would he love? How would he help? How would he throw his arms around that situation? You have been called to stand in Christ's stead. This is the sense of destiny that you must comprehend for your life. You will be men wondered at. Instead of God wondering that there are no intercessors, may he wonder what to do with so many intercessors. When Christ wondered at such little faith, may he wonder that there's so much active faith, practical faith, dynamic faith. Paul wonders at the low moral standards of the Corinthian church. May apostles and prophets wonder at the high standards you have set for yourself in holiness, in discipline, in a crucified life that honors Jesus Christ. Or may angels wonder about you. May the devil wonder about you like it did about Job. And may the greatest wonder be when the angel said to John, John, who are these out here? And John says, ah, they came out of great tribulation. They've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. What a wonder it'll be to heaven when we come marching in. Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption story, they will fold their wings, for angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. May you be a college of young people wondered at. Amen.